Our work in advance of the NHL draft continues. We will be there next Saturday, next Sunday. We'll be going live from Friday on, but certainly the draft going on Sunday. And to set the table for us a little more perspective, opinion, and to help get you ready, three first-round picks. What are the Flames looking at? From HockeyPerspectives.com, a guy that you need to follow on Twitter, and very pleased to be joined this morning by Corey Praman. Corey, good day to you, sir. How are things?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Hey,
well.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man. Let's start with the news of the day yesterday. I'm sure you would have heard of it. Joe Sakic telling the Denver Post, Seth Jones at number one, that's nice, but I don't think we're going there. These three forwards, Seth, in spite of Seth Jones, Nathan MacKinnon, Jonathan Drouin, and help me out. The third
Alexander Barkov.
Yes.
Too good to pass up. I got to ask you, are you buying what he's selling?
It's always hard to really know what their true intentions are. I mean, you kind of hear what they say. You take it for face value. I mean, I'm not willing to go as far as say Joe Sakic wasn't being truthful to the Denver Post, but it's still June, and June 19th. Still a long ways to go before that pick is made. But listen, you can't go wrong with that first pick between Seth Jones, Nathan MacKinnon, Jonathan Drouin. Even if you want to go into Alexander Barkov or Valeri Nichushkin, those top five are all elite prospects. I mean, you look at Colorado and say they have that defense issue. Maybe they should be looking at the defenseman number one. But there's reasonable arguments for a number of other players, and it's not really just insane to think that they could be looking at the Halifax forward.
And again, we talked about this just before the commercial break. You have to wonder, with Patrick Waugh coming in, having seen up close and firsthand for so long, both MacKinnon and Drouin with the Halifax Mooseheads, if that, in fact, has maybe changed the philosophy a little bit.
Sure. I mean, that's possible. He definitely has some first-person observations of a lot of these players several times. And it could just be that they just truly believe those are the best players, and most NHL teams take the philosophy you don't draft based on need, even if it's just a small adjustment based on need, it's always the best player available. And it seems like Colorado, at least based on their words, are following that approach.
So I think we know all there is to know about Nathan MacKinnon. We saw the display he put on with Halifax throughout their playoff and then into the Memorial Cup and certainly in the championship game. Jonathan Drouin is a guy, and I'll profess, because we've seen this before, and I guess it goes back to Marc-Antoine Pouliot for me. The guy, guy plays with Sidney Crosby, ends up being a first-round pick, should not have been based on, obviously, the evidence that's come since. And I wondered, maybe is Jonathan Drouin the guy that's just riding shotgun with Nathan MacKinnon? And then the World Junior Camp took place here in Calgary, and Corey, it was evident very quickly that Drouin, on his own merits, was a fantastic hockey player. But yet it seems like if there's maybe one guy who could slide, if it's not Jones at one, likely at two, where does Drouin, I mean, in terms of the Nichushkin, Barkov, and Drouin, where do you see Drouin in those three?
Yeah, that's what's interesting about this top five. There's a lot of different scenarios that can play out, because if Jones doesn't go one, I imagine Florida would be looking very seriously at him, and then you get to a scenario, but if Florida doesn't go with Jones, maybe they go with a guy like Barkov, maybe they just want to get a center that much, and the top two centers go off the board early. Then it's really a variety of scenarios that could play out from three to five. Drouin's a guy who I could see possibly go from anywhere from one to four in this draft, depending on where the teams like him. And that's what's so interesting, is that those top guys are all so close together. It becomes down to what's your team philosophy, what attributes do you value, and overall maybe even where do you want to aim to fill in your organization.
Darnell Nurse, I want to get your thoughts on him particularly. I get the more you talk to people and the more you kind of look at it, right now he's in that 6'5", 6' range, but I can't help but wonder, as a guy who is so athletic and is likely to get bigger and stronger and more athletic and more skilled, I mean, at 17 that's where he is. At 20, where is he going to be? At 22, at 25, I just wonder if this is a guy, when you redo this draft in maybe a decade, if he would be one of the top three guys that you would, if you were to do it all over again.
Well, the thing about Darnell Nurse is, as you mentioned, he's an athletic guy. You're talking about a guy who's 6'4", skates very well. He's not exactly big and scrawny. He's a strong, physical defenseman. He has basically all the natural tools you look for. With looking at the draft, it's kind of hard, just because it's such a deep draft at the top. It's kind of hard that top five, I think, for now is kind of is locked in. Most scouts I've talked to do feel that Lindholm and Monahan will probably go in a 6-7 range, but because there's not a giant separation, it's plausible that a guy like Darnell Nurse or even a guy like Ristolainen could maybe move up a little bit. But when you try to project past that five slot, it gets way wide open.
Corey, who for you potentially makes the biggest splash, meaning to me in this draft, it's loaded with guys in the first round that, who knows, depending on who you love as a team, could go anywhere from being ranked in the 25 spot, maybe right into the top 10. Is there any one or two guys that you think could really surprise in that respect?
I think one guy that I don't feel is getting enough attention would be the Swedish forward Alexander Wennberg. He was a late birth date, so he didn't play at the U18s, got around the third, fourth line duty at the World Juniors for Sweden. I talked to a couple of NHL executives who feel he's a top 13 player in this draft. I'm not saying he's going to go in that range or the teams in that pick range who would take him, but I think from talking just to agents, Swedish scouts, and NHL people, there's a lot of people who are very optimistic about that player, and I think he's going to go a lot higher than some expect.
The Calgary Flames pick at number 6, and like you said, it's one of those scenarios for Flames and certainly for their fans. The top 5 seems very clear. Then at 6, it gets a little bit dicey, and go figure that's where they select. A lot of people, I think, feel that maybe it's Sean Monahan of the Ottawa 67s, another guy, that, and you mentioned his name, Elias Lindholm. I want to throw Bo Horvat into that group as well. If the Flames are indeed looking for a center, do you think that Bo Horvat legitimately and should be in that class when we're talking Monahan, Lindholm?
Probably not, but I do love Bo Horvat a lot. I think he's a very good two-way player. He's got offensive ability. He could be a physical center with defensive skill. But I think Sean Monahan and Elias Lindholm just have that upside that separates themselves a little bit from Horvat. Even though Horvat had that great run in the OHL playoffs where he was named the playoffs MVP, I think based on the track record, Monahan and Elias Lindholm have separated themselves from Horvat.
Lindholm's a funny one because we have more video, we have more data, we're closer to it, we're in Canada. Elias Lindholm at 6 foot is actually heavier than Sean Monahan. What can you tell us about the game that Elias Lindholm plays?
I'm a big Elias Lindholm fan. In my opinion, he is the best draft-eligible Swedish forward to come out of Sweden. That's not considering Gabriel Landeskog, who was in the CHL. Since Backstrom, he's an extremely talented player who has an all-around game. He has a great skill and offensive hockey sense, but he also has a good work ethic. He comes back on defense. He can play center and the wing effectively. He's just a really great all-around player with a ton of attributes that you want in a top-end, potential top-end NHL player.
If you're Jay Feaster of the Calgary Flames at 6 and you're choosing between Lindholm and Monahan, what way do you lean?
I lean to Lindholm just because I think he has more ceiling. I like Monahan a lot. I think he could definitely be a potential number one center. I think his two-way game is excellent, and that he still performed very well considering he was on a poor Ottawa team this year. But Lindholm, in my opinion, just has that next level offensively where he could be a real core player for that team.
Chatting with Corey Promen from HockeyProspectus.com. Check him out on Twitter here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Calgary kid Hunter Shinkarik. On ISS, they have him ranked at 13. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes in the top 10. A bit of a wild card. I guess it all depends on what teams' needs are and what they like, but right now there's not much not to like about Hunter Shinkarik. What your thoughts on the Medicine Hat Tiger?
No, I'm a big Shinkarik fan. I have him ranked 10th. I love his dynamic qualities. I mean, he's such a gifted offensive player. I mean, the only real issues from the NHL guys I've talked to is that he's a little small. Maybe, you know, you kind of worry about his defensive projection down the line. But the upside there is just so great. You look at the guy, when he can handle the puck so well and makes plays, he can finish well, he's a good skater. He just has all the skills you want, and I think he's going to go in the top 12 on draft day.
You also mentioned the name Rasmus Ristolainen. We will, with World Juniors and Memorial Cup, we'll know a little bit about Horvat. Certainly we'll know about Nikita Zadorov with the London Knights. Ristolainen, 6'4", 6'5", already upwards of 210 pounds. That's an NHL frame. Is he ready for the National Hockey League?
I'm not sure if he's there, but he's close. Probably after Jones, he's probably the guy who's closest in terms of NHL ready among the defensemen in this draft. Because not only is he a big defenseman who is playing among men this year in the Finnish Elite League, he was playing tough minutes. He was playing sometimes upwards of 20 minutes a night in Finland, in their toughest league. I mean, this is a guy who, like you said, is big, he's mobile, he moves the puck well, he defends very well, he uses his frame. He's a very just good, well-rounded defenseman. And I like him a lot. I have him as my number 8 ranked prospect in this draft, and I think he would be maybe it wouldn't be my pick at Calgary's spot, but I wouldn't say that would be a bad pick either.
Corey, where do you have Zachary Fucale of the Halifax Mooseheads going, and do you expect him for sure to go in round number 1?
From NHL guys I talked to, I think he will go in the first round. I have heard Calgary link taking a goalie. I'm not sure if it would be Fucale, but that kind of be the consensus thing, as he's likely going to be the first goalie off the board. He's been around the block for a few years now. We've seen the stuff he's done with Halifax. Scouts I talked to have loved the poise he shows in net. He has the great mental attributes. Maybe he doesn't have the great save percentage to back it up, but NHL guys I talked to are really high on him, and I do expect he'll go in the first round.
Just keep peppering you with names. I'll throw another one at you. Frederick Gauthier is a guy that we're hearing a lot more now than maybe even at the halfway point. 6'5", 210 out of Rimouski, put up big numbers. He is a centerman. Tell me a little bit about the Oceanic centerman Gauthier.
Yeah, he's interesting, like you mentioned. He's a big center who can skate. He showed some offensive ability this year. And not only that, but he's also a very advanced defensive center. He logged a lot of tough minutes for Rimouski, took a lot of defensive zone draws on the PK. So he had that two-way game. It's interesting. I'm not sure how high his offensive upside is, or if he's the meanest player considering his size, but he's definitely a good prospect. I can see him going in the late first round to blow you away. I think he can be a quality player selected in that range.
Okay, I had one left, and now, but I've got two. Last one for you, another local guy here in Calgary, Josh Morrissey of the PA Raiders. I think there's probably a lot of Flames fans that would hope maybe when that 22 pick comes around that he is still available. Do you see him lasting to 22, and your thoughts?
I think it's plausible he can get to that spot, and that would probably be around the range I think he would go in this draft, considering how I think it would play out. I'm a Josh Morrissey fan. I think he has great ability. He was really impressive at the under-18 championship last season at the underage and had a good draft season. Great puck mover, great skater. He's a little undersized. You worry about, you know, how good defensively is he going to be in the NHL at his size, maybe a little bit of a risk taker. But he had just great upside. He could be a top power play guy potentially down the line. Ed probably would be a good selection at that spot.
And last one for you, Flames yesterday, trade for the rights, and it looks as though they have come to terms with Corbin Knight coming out of UND. I know that you had an article and you've been watching him somewhat closely going down to the Sioux. Thoughts on the new Flame?
Yeah, I'm a big Corbin Knight fan. I've watched him closely for the last two years at North Dakota. In my opinion, he becomes one of Calgary's top prospects. When you're maybe not the level of a guy like Sven Berchi, but he's definitely, I think, a top three prospect. You look something close to the lines of on their prospect ranks of somebody like Johnny Gaudreau. He's a very good two-way center. He was probably arguably the best face-off guy in the college hockey last year. And he has above-average offensive qualities, too. Very good vision, good hands. Maybe not the fastest skater, but I think he's a guy down the line who can play tough defensive minutes and maybe be a top-six offensive forward at the same time. He's a guy I'm very high on.
Corey, appreciate your time. We gave you a lot there, and we appreciate it. Enjoy the draft in about 10 days.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Corey Promen from HockeyPerspectives.com.